I've heard many people either coming back from an Uluru Ayers rock trip. Uluru is the name, the indigenous name of the rock, of the Ayers rock. And but I think that you really need to go to Uluru, to Ayers rock, off season. So not on the peak season. Peak season is usually July, August, when it is really packed with tourists. And I've been there twice in April, and there were some people around, but not really, hundreds of these buses standing there or whatever. So you really, I get the pictures. If you get there, you see, oh, I see so many big buses of these people and hordes of people, really so many people around. So you think, oh, that's very touristy, and you cannot really enjoy the place. So I would suggest going there. April, May is a fantastic time of the year to visit Uluru. Or if you go off season, October could be also good. So try not to go there when it's peak season, and not when it's a school public school holidays or public holidays. Like public holidays, like usually they have the 25th of April. It's a long weekend. That will be probably very full at Uluru. So whenever there is a public holiday or school holidays, then you have to expect that there is packed with people, and you have to make the most of your time and of your money. So you won't be able to get any, I wouldn't say cheap hotels, but one of the less expensive hotels and accommodations. You can also opt to camp. You can camp at Uluru if you don't want to spend much money. But still, even a dorm will cost you at least 30, 40 sterling pounds per person sharing. So you have to know that Uluru is an expensive destination. And when you go there, you have really to make the most of your time. So don't go when it's peak season, and try to book a flight off season. So you can get really a cheap flight for $150 Australian dollars from Adelaide or for whatever, from Sydney, one way. So it's really, you really have to work this around this, and not go there on peak times.
What do people do there? I mean, do you just stand and look at it, or can you do other
Oh
activities?
no, you don't just go, and because many people think, oh, you just go and witness the sunrise and the sunset, and waking up early, go there. Sunset is the most beautiful part of it. Sunrise is nice, but it's not as nice as the Olga's, Katya Tuta, which is the other big rock, 50 k's from Uluru. So the sunset is magnificent, but you don't just no, that's a very small part of it. You do lots of walking. There is a big walk that you do around the base, which is 9 k's, and this is something that you do straight after sunrise because it's still cool. With 20, 25 degrees, you can do that. So it's nice. It's a lovely walk around the walk, and you can see how impressive and how different this rock is. There is so many sacred sites. You cannot take photos. That's the point. But I mean, you don't really need to take photos. You will have to take memories home, and you will see how different the rock is in all these places. You can go on guided. There is a free guided walk that you can do at 8 o'clock, and there are people queuing up for this free guided walk. There are so many other walks starting from the rock. So there are plenty of walks that you can do. You can visit there is a big cultural center, the cultural center, where they organize indigenous workshop or guided tours. So if you are interested also in learning about the indigenous culture and the importance, the significance of this rock for the indigenous people, and also for the country itself, because there is a lot of energy going on around this rock. You immediately feel this energy when you are in its surrounding, when you are walking around, and also when you sleep at the resort. this area is really a very, very energetic area. You can feel the energy. You sleep very well. You can sleep so well. I tell you, that's the best place for sleeping.
Why can't you take photographs there?
You cannot take photographs around the rock because it's a sacred site. Most of them are sacred sites, so they are protected by the indigenous, and they don't want you to take photos. They are everywhere. You are not allowed to take photos. You are allowed to take photos when you are at the sunset platform, you're viewing the sunset. You are allowed to take plenty of photos from other standing points, but not when you walk around the. And you are not. You can also do the climb. You can climb on the rock, but again, here there is so many opinions. The indigenous people won't tell you to do that, but it's free. It's free to walk up, and they haven't banned the walk. I personally wouldn't suggest climbing this rock, but there are people that come from all over the world, and also from Australians. They come to Uluru, to Ayers Rock, to climb the rock. They say, I want to climb it. I personally wouldn't do it, but and it's dangerous to climb it. It's not really an easy hike at all. And they say that it's a wonderful hike and whatever, but I personally wouldn't do it. I'm a hiker. I love hiking. When I was there, standing in front of Uluru, nothing crossed my mind to say I want to hike it, but shall I do it? There was nothing really telling me to do this. And I think you should also follow in your instinct. And when you are there, you will have either you're called to it or you're not called to it. But think in terms of, is it important to me to do this? Do I really want to do this? And then also feel whether you want to pay respect to the indigenous people that they don't want you to do this because they say it's a dangerous place to hike as well. It can get very windy up there, and also the hike itself is not and it's a sacred place. They don't want you to do it. So there are many factors that probably will lead you to take your decision. But when you have spent a couple of days, then probably you want to leave and go somewhere else and go to visit some other parts of the Red Center, like for instance Kings Canyon, or do something else. I think 2 days and 2 nights would be a good time for visiting Ayers Rock. You will be able to visit Katia Tuta as well, which is the other, the many heads, they call it the Olgas, which is another beautiful place for walking through and really soaking in this atmosphere, this really peacefulness of the place. So,
What did you think? What were your thoughts the first time you saw Ayers Rock?
the first time I got there by bus in the night, and I got there, and I think I was away from the rock, so I was watching the sunset. And this is something magnificent because you see from the distance the rock and the colors, the contrast. But I think the most really impressive moment for me was walking around the rock. Because when you walk around the rock, then you have really you just see the rock standing, in front of you, so huge, and all these different parts. It's 9 Ks. It's a lot. It's a really huge rock, and you realize how big this rock is and how impressive it is, and it's really stunning. For me, it was very much a feeling the energy of this big rock, and this was somehow bringing a bit of balance into myself. So I think you really need to see Ayers Rock to have your own impressions. Then on the second trip, while I was driving, oh, that was amazing. Because when you drive, it's different than when you are on a bus. When you drive, you are approaching the rock slowly, and you see it is getting bigger and bigger while you are coming closer by car. And you really, I had, I got, you know, the a strange feeling of my skin. It was really, you know, I had like shiver of my skin. It's really very much impressive. I think it's one of the big attractions in Australia that I would recommend. Usually, I don't recommend attractions to anyone, you know. I just want people to see the Australia that they want to see and what they are interested in. But Uluru is one of the, probably one of the very few attractions that I really recommend to people.
You're a single female traveller. You've done it. I should imagine there would be female listeners who might be concerned about their own personal safety, basically because of what they've seen in the movies and because of a perception that it can be quite a sexist area, the rural part of Australia. What's your experience been, Michaela? Is it okay for a woman travelling to remote parts of the country on her own?
Yes, it is. It is, but it depends also what you are going to do then when you are in remote areas. For instance, I did travel a lot in outback areas by myself. But when I was there in a small area, like for instance, Cannamalla, which is a fantastic place, I love it, a small area, a small town. When you get there, you are just by yourself, and then you get to meet the locals, and they take you there and they show you the places. But what I wouldn't suggest doing is just going hiking for a long distances on your own, in national parks on your own. You have really to let people know what you're doing. So if you plan to go hiking or you bushwalking in remote areas of the outback, you definitely need to let people know, and also the tourist information office of the police, that you are. Sometimes you really have to fill in like a form where you are going, what you're doing, because they have to track you down where you are. And obviously, if you're not an expert hiker or you haven't hiked on your own already, you have to be careful what you do, because you might, you know, end up, you know, that you don't know where you are. You have to find your way. So you have to really be aware of your surrounding. You have to know what you're doing and what you can do and what you can't do. Usually, when I'm on my own, I do also short bushwalking hikes or whatever, but you know, they're very short, they're just half an hour, 1 hour. But I wouldn't go for days on my own without having prepared that trip. So you have to know what to do. Apart from that being said, traveling into the outback is really, really safe, because when you get to a place, they're very welcoming people there. And they are happy that you are there, because they show you the place. They don't see many people traveling to outback destinations, so they're very happy to give you all the information, to tell you what you can do. And the first thing that I would suggest is just getting the information from the tourist information officers and asking. I'm on my own. I would do that. What would you suggest? It's something that I can do, or and they will give you guidance and they will tell you, okay, you can do that with no worries. But if you are going for a longer trip on your own, you have please to let you know, let us know where you are heading, because you cannot afford to get lost. Because when you are in the outback, there is no phone working. You are just cut off. So you really need to be aware of this. But apart from that, the Outback is an amazing place of Australia, and I would really recommend. I think in terms of Australia, I think that the real Australia is the Outback, because.
If you have special needs or you like being pampered, are there challenges with going to the outback? For instance, if, say, you're vegan or you can only eat gluten-free food, or you expect a certain standard of accommodation, you like luxury rooms, are you going to find it difficult meeting those needs in rural parts of Australia?
I would say not really, no. Unless you go just to a very unpopulated place, you know, where you come and there are just there are some very few where you come and it's just a campsite, you know. So unless you don't want to sleep in a tent or in a cabin, some campsites have cabins too, so you don't really have to sleep in a tent. But if you are hiring a camper van and going through very deserted areas and outback areas, you have to, you know, to adjust yourself. So you won't have that luxury in the outback. And I think that part of the outback experience is really to be flexible and not really expect a five-star hotel in the outback. So you have to be flexible in that terms that you may end up in a very, very plain bed and breakfast or very plain cabin of a campsite. But that's part of the experience, you know. So the outback is very much this as well. But I found that in many places of the outback, you can find different types of accommodations, from the basic bed and breakfast to maybe a motel or a nice hotel. Also spa, you can find some places in the outback with a spa because they have artesian water, like in Queensland. And so you may be really surprised sometimes that you have things that you wouldn't expect, you know, to find. But obviously traveling to the outback means being adventurous as well. So you have to probably lower your expectation a little bit sometimes. You cannot expect to have, you know, that high standard of accommodation everywhere. Obviously, if you go to Uluru, you have 5-6 stars accommodation there or some other, you know, top attractions. But not really everywhere in the outback you find that. And I think, as I said, it's part of the adventure. And you have to go with this spirit, you know. That's very important.
People can get hours of information reading your book. So finally, tell us how they can get copies of your guides to Australia.
They can get it visiting rockytravel.net. So rockytravel.net. When they are on the website, they will see all the links to different guides that they can read from the blog post, or they can download the book, which is on the main on the homepage of the Rocket Travel of the website. So they can get it either on iTunes or directly from the as a PDF. They can download it from the website, from my website, or they can get it from iTunes. Or there is also a version in Amazon. Yes, that's how they can get the book.